The message today is Jesus, the author and dryer of tears. Not the dryer of tears alone, but Jesus, the author and dryer of tears. I will read you a few passages and then bring others to your remembrance. You gave me to drink. I was a stranger, and you took me. My brethren, you did it unto me. Now John 10, verse 4. When he putteth forth all his sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Now chapter 20. Verse 11. But Mary was standing without at the tomb, weeping. So, as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb, and she beholdeth two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet. And I saw a new heaven coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his peoples, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And he shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more. The first things are passed away. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for the exceeding great and precious promises that you have given us in thy word. We are thankful that the hearts of so many who are here today say when thy word is read, thy word is truth. And we are thankful, our Father, in a world in which so many things are passing away, that your Son has said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. And we are thankful that we have read his very words this day, words that he spoke, words that were spoken to him and about him. And we desire, Father, that we shall be edified from a consideration of all of these things that have to do with your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So bless us to that end this day. We are thankful for those who have been sick, who are here. We pray that you shall continue to be with us, our God. First of all, you made us bodies. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and then you breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And so, our Father, remember our bodies and remember our souls. And we pray that we shall be blessed this day, because thy Spirit has spoken to us through thy servant. Bless us to that end, we pray. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Last week I heard my host say, because I spoke last week on Jesus, the one who shed tears. I heard him say quietly in the background, Jesus also dries tears. And I said nothing. He was wondering why I didn't talk about Jesus, the dryer of tears. The reason is that I'm going to talk about Jesus drying tears today. I don't tell you everything all at once, but you tell things at different times. But I wanted to combine Jesus, the dryer of tears, with the thought, Jesus, the author of tears. Jesus, the one who causes tears. Because he causes as many tears as he dries tears. And people today think that our life should be devoid of tears. But that isn't what God tells us. Ecclesiastes says this, there is a season for everything and a purpose for every time under heaven. He said there was a time to laugh and a time to weep. There was a time to sorrow. There was a time to dance. There was a time to be born. There was a time to die. There was a time and a season for everything. And Proverbs tells us about the foolish one who comes in when there is sorrow and he is playing the fool and being merry. And also the time when there is joy and one would put a damper on that joy. The Lord Jesus knows about those things. This is what he said. They came to him and said, why are not your disciples fasting? And the Lord Jesus said, why, when there is a wedding, are there to be tears and sorrow and fasting? He said, that's not the time that you fast and weep. He said, that is the time of joy. He said, but the time will come when my disciples shall fast. And so the Lord Jesus knew the proper occasion of everything. And God in the Old Testament tells the Israelites that they are not always to be joyful, that at times they are to be sorrowful. And there are the seven feasts that God has established for Israel. And when it came to the Day of Atonement, God said, you must afflict your souls this day. There was to be no joy. There was to be no rejoicing. He said, you will afflict your souls, and if you will not afflict your souls, you will be cut off from the children of Israel. And so there was a time to weep and afflict your souls. And then, one day of affliction, when you came to the Feast of Tabernacles, God said, this is the time that you are to rejoice. He said, you are to rejoice before me 7 days. And I like that ratio. 1 day of affliction and sorrow, but 7 days of rejoicing. But you see, there is a time to weep and there is a time to laugh. There is a time to cry and there is a time to dance. And God says, the time is proper depending on the occasion. And that is why the Lord Jesus is not only one who dries tears, but he causes tears. When our Savior, who supposedly came from heaven to send peace on earth, goodwill to men, he says this in Matthew chapter 10. He said, think not that I came to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. He said, I came to set a man at variance with his father and the daughter with her mother. And so Jesus wants to break your heart. He wants to split up your family. Why? Because if some of you say, Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior, and I'm following Him. And your children say, I'm having nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus said, then I want that family separated. I want that family divided. But this is my father. This is my son. This is my mother. This is my daughter. The Lord Jesus said, the paramount thing is salvation, the passing from death unto life. And if one will not have me as Savior, He said, I came not to send peace under any condition, but I came to send a sword. And I've seen some families ruined for that very reason. Because a father that is sentimental will give in to the sins of his children and tolerate those sins. And the Lord Jesus said, I came to divide families. David was the man after God's own heart. And my criticism of David is this, that he tolerated sin and disobedience in the life of his children. When God had determined that Solomon should be king, Adonijah said, I am going to be king. And it tells us this, just this little sentence about David's relationship to Adonijah. It says, David had never denied Adonijah anything. He had never said no to Adonijah. And he had never said no to Absalom, his son. He ruined his children because there was that tenderness in his heart, and he was not one who would bring tears and obedience and discipline in the life of his children. And that is what is so sad. But the Lord Jesus is not that way. The Lord Jesus is one who wants to bring tears into your life. He wants you to weep if your children are lost, and He does not want you to condone their sins, but He wants you to take a stand against them and say, this is the way. Jesus is the truth and the life, and I'm following Him. And sons were priests, but they were taking bribes. They were corrupting the priesthood. And the old father did was to say, sons, you shouldn't do this. Don't you know that God will do something? You put your foot down and say, this shall not go on. This is what the Savior says. There was a steward who was accused of mishandling his master's assets. And he was called on the carpet and said, give an account of thy stewardship. You can no longer be steward. And so the Lord Jesus spoke that parable. But we always think of Jesus as the one that is tender and loving and tolerates sin and indecision and your rejection of Him and says nothing to you about it. But the Lord Jesus plainly tells you about it. He says, if you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins. And so no one can ever say to the Lord Jesus, why did you not tell me? And this is one of the ways that Jesus sends tears, the author of tears, by taking your idols away from you. When the rich young ruler came to the Savior and said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord Jesus told him all the commandments. And he said, all of these have I observed from my youth. What lack I yet? And the Savior knew that there was covetousness in his heart. There was this idol within him, and he did not know it. And he said, go sell everything that you have, and give to the poor, and come follow me, and you shall have treasure in heaven. And it says that his countenance fell and he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. What did Jesus do there? To say Jesus was the author of this man's tears, his sorrow, His rejection of Christ would not be tolerated. And the Lord Jesus, even if tears are going to be shed, the Lord Jesus says, let him shed those tears. And so Jesus is not only the dryer of tears, but Jesus is the author of tears. Do you realize also that Paul and James want you to do some weeping? James says in chapter 4 and in chapter 5. In chapter 4, he speaks about certain ones that have sins in their lives. He said, you are sinners and you are double-minded. He says, weep and mourn because of these sins that are in your life. He said, cleanse your hands, ye sinners. He says, repent of your double-mindedness. He rebukes them in chapter 4, and then he says to the rich, he says, come now, ye rich, weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. You say, well, I thought Christians were to be happy all the time, that Jesus wipes away tears. There is no toleration of sin, but sin is that which causes tears. And Jesus would get rid of those tears by getting rid of your sins. But first he reproves and rebukes because of the sins that are in your life that you embrace and you will not let go. And James does not tolerate them. He says, weep and lament and mourn. Why? He said, because of the crookedness, the dealings that you've had with those that work for you. He said, the laborers that have mown your fields, you will not pay them their wages. And they cried out, and their cries have come to the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. And so he says, now you are to weep and to cry because of the misery, the judgment that's going to come upon you. And so the Bible doesn't tell you always to have dried tears and to go through life rejoicing. Listen to what Paul says. In Romans chapter 9, he says, I speak the truth in Christ, I lie not. He said, I have continual sorrow. I have unceasing pain in my heart because of my kinsmen, according to the flesh, my countrymen. Why? He said, because they are lost. And he said, I could wish myself accursed from God for their sake. And so Paul knew what it was. The same one who said, rejoice in the Lord always. He said, I have continual sorrow and pain in my heart. Why? Because of the lost condition of those around him. And when have you last shed tears because of your friends and your neighbors who are lost? The Apostle Paul said, I am sorrowful all the time. And that is what is so sad, that here are those that are lost and we are unconcerned about it. In Ezekiel, a strange thing happens. There is sin in the city of Jerusalem. And God says to the keepers of the city, six of them, he says, I want you to go through the city, and you in the linen cloth with the writer's ink horn and pen by your side, I want you to go through Jerusalem and mark everyone that is weeping and sorrowing for the sins and iniquities in this city. You put a mark on his forehead. And so that is what the angel with the ink horn did and the pen. He put a mark on all their foreheads. And now God said, go through the city with your battle axe, with your destroying weapon, and destroy everyone who doesn't have a mark on his head. And I'm wondering how many of us would still be alive if God was looking for a mark on our head because we are weeping and sorrowing, as the Apostle Paul did, for the lost condition of the world. But so many of us are like Hezekiah. God in his mercy spoke to Hezekiah, and he spoke of terrible things that were going to come upon him. But then he wept to God, and God said, look, he's walking softly. He has a change of heart. He said, I'm not going to do these things in his day, but in his son's days. Now, Hezekiah said, I'm so happy. These things aren't going to happen unto me. They're going to happen unto my children. Isn't that a lovely attitude to take? And so here are some who are unconcerned, just so they go through life and nothing happens to them. I can remember a father to this day who had two daughters that were lost. And he said, "It has nothing to do with me. I'm saved. If they want to be lost, let them go ahead and be lost. It doesn't bother me." And the Apostle Paul's heart was broken. And I told you last week that one of the occasions of Jesus shedding tears was when he looked over the city of Jerusalem and he wept over it. Why? He said, "Because of the things that are coming upon you." He said, "Your enemies have come and completely destroy this city and destroy you as well." And the Lord Jesus wept over the calamity that was going to come upon the city of Jerusalem. And so Jesus isn't the only one who wants us to dry tears, but he wants us to have tears as well on the proper occasion. And let me ask you this. Is there any sin in this meeting? Are there any who are committing adultery? Any of your relatives? The Apostle Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 5. He says, "It is actually reported that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not even mentioned among the Gentiles, that one of you has his father's wife, and you are puffed up about it, and you did not rather mourn and weep that the one that has done this thing might be taken away from you." And what happens is that sin goes on in an assembly, and you tolerate it, and you're puffed up, and you say, "We are saved by grace through faith. God doesn't know anything about sin and punishment of sin." The Apostle Paul says, "Put that wicked one away from the midst of you." And so here at Corinth, instead of tears, when there should have been tears, there was puffed up and the toleration of sin. And so the Lord Jesus indeed wants tears to be shed by the people of God today. But instead of shedding tears, we say it with Hezekiah, "It's not happening to me. It doesn't concern me." And also, why? God is the God of all grace. Yes, they are living in sin, but let us be liberal. Love covers a multitude of sins, all sorts of excuses. But the Lord Jesus says, that is not the time I would dry tears. He said, the time I would dry tears is when one has a broken and a contrite heart, when that one wants to be restored. That is when I would dry tears. Do you realize that one of the ways that Jesus dried tears when he was on earth was by restoring one's soul? The Savior had told Peter that he was going to deny him three times before the cock crowed twice. And when he did deny him the third time, it said that the rooster crowed, and Jesus turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered what the Lord had said, and he went out and wept bitterly. And the Lord Jesus did nothing for him until that day when he was fishing with his companions at the Sea of Tiberias, and the Lord Jesus was standing on the seashore. And when Peter came to shore, he called him aside, and he said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And again, and again, and finally, Peter said he was grieved. The third time, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And the Lord Jesus said, "Well then, feed my sheep." You understand that the Lord has to restore your soul, and that's the only way that your tears are to be dried. If you continue in sin, the Lord Jesus will never dry your tears. He wants you to continue to weep. Weep and howl. That's what James says. Why? Because sin is supposed to bring tears to your eyes. And as long as there is sin in you, God wants you to continue to weep. Read Psalm 51 and see a broken and a contrite heart of the man who sinned so grievously against God, David. And then you understand how repentance is to take place in a man's heart. And then the tears will be removed. Jesus will remove your tears if you confess your sins, and by restoring your soul, Jesus will dry your tears. When he was on earth in the days of his flesh, the way he dried tears was this way. Do you remember? I told you that the widow of Nain, whose son was dead, he simply touched the stretcher and looked at the young man and said, "I say unto thee, arise." And he sat up and talked, and the Lord Jesus took him and gave him to his mother. But I venture to say this, that she shed more tears when her son was given back to her than when her son was taken away. And I promise that all of you who have any spirituality at all, that when the Lord Jesus gives you back your child, he passes from death unto life, there should be more tears in your life of joy than the tears you shed because your children were going astray down the broad road that led to destruction. And so that's what the Lord Jesus does. He gives joy of life, physical life, when he was on earth and raised the dead. But he still today gives spiritual life, and we can rejoice in that. And I read you in John 10, as well as in John chapter 20, about the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." And he had told us that they know his voice. And he said, "The voice of strangers, they will not follow." And I am grieved for the children of God today, because they are not certain when they hear preaching if it's the voice of the Lord Jesus or the voice of a stranger. How sad. But the Lord Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." And the Lord Jesus said, "They know the voice of the shepherd." And he said, "The voice of strangers, they will not follow. They are afraid of them." And yet today there is the embracing of all sorts of religious ways and doctrines. And the Lord Jesus said, "You are not to know their voices. You are to understand that they are the voices not of shepherds, but of those that will lead you down to destruction." The Lord Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." And that's why I read you that beautiful incident in the life of Mary. She's at the tomb of the Lord Jesus, wondering where he is. And the Lord Jesus says, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" And he speaks a little more to her. And he says one word. He says, "Mary." And then all her sadness is gone by the speaking of one word, her name. It settled everything. He was alive. He knew her. He still had that relationship, but in a more distant way than he did before, and he spoke her name. And that name was known, his voice was recognized, and her tears were dried. I remember this. Before my mother died, she lived at the top of a flight of stairs, and she had had a door put there because she lived by herself upstairs. And at times, I would come to visit her. I lived 50 miles away, and I would come to visit her, and I would knock on that door, and she would come to the door and say, "Who is there?" And I would say one word, "Mother." And she said, "It's my son." And she would throw open the door, and I would come in, and she would embrace me. And at times, since she knew my voice, I would say this. I would come in, she would say, "Who is there?" And I would say, "It's a burglar." And she would laugh and open the door and say, "It's my son," and still let me in. Why? Because she knew my voice. And this is the beauty of knowing the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the reason I read you Matthew 25 is this. When the Savior was on earth, he constantly was drying tears as well as causing tears. But the Lord Jesus isn't on earth today. And he expects you to go around and dry tears. How many tears have you dried lately? How many that were hungry have you fed? Thirsty and you've given to drink. Strangers and you've taken them in. Naked and you've clothed them. Sick and you visited them. In prison and you've gone unto them. How many of those have you done? The Lord Jesus is looking from heaven and he sees everyone who does those things and he says, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. The Lord Jesus wants you to do what he did when he was on earth. Did he feed the hungry? You say, yes. Did he take care of the sick? You say, yes. Everything that the Lord Jesus did on earth in the days of his flesh, he wants you to do now that he is in heaven. And he is aware of it. This is what the Savior says when Hezekiah thought he was going to die. And he turned his face to the wall and he wept and he prayed. And he did not know that God had seen and heard, but the prophet Isaiah did, and God sent a servant of his, and he said to Hezekiah, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. This is what is going to happen to you. And for you who say, I wonder if God knows, if God cares, of course he does. And this is what David says. He says, my God, I want you to put my tears in your bottle. And so all the tears that you've ever shed, that you might understand it, God has them in a bottle. And at times when you think he's forgotten about you, just say to this, Lord, I want you to take that bottle of my tears and I want you to shake it and see how many tears I have shed and I want you to dry my tears and remember the tears that I have shed. This is what the Savior is doing today. He wants us to be those that dry tears. But what is so sad is this. You have some friends that have no aptness at helping those that are sorrowful. Do you remember Job's three friends that came to him? At first, it looked as if they would be wonderful friends. When they looked and saw the terrible estate that he was in, they rent their garments and they cast dust on their heads and they sat silently for 7 days and nights and said nothing. And finally, when they did start speaking, trying to comfort Job, this is what he had to say. He said, miserable comforters are you all. And some people are that way. So be discreet when you go and try to comfort individuals. If you're telling them about their sins, you be sure that they've committed sins. And also give them the word in season, how to dry those tears. This is what the Lord Jesus would have us to do. And so here we are, going through life. And the verse that I told you, do you know when it's going to be fulfilled? It says this. Literally, it says this. God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. That's the promise. I promise that once you get to heaven, there'll not be one tear that you will shed. But there were tears when you got there because God wiped them away. He wipes away tear by tear. He wipes away all tears. That's the lovely thing. But do you know when it's going to happen? On the other side. All others say, God's going to wipe away all tears. But in this life, I want you to come and I want you to dry my tears. And I have to go and to dry your tears with this assurance. And so this is the promise of God. Sorrow, weeping may tarry for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. For every child of God, there is a morning. Is there a morning for you? Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful for the ways of your Son, the Lord Jesus. We could wish, our God, that there were less tears in our lives. But from what he tells us, there should be more tears. But we're thankful that once he causes tears, He is prepared to dry those tears, and we pray that we shall know about confessing our sins. We pray, our Father, that we shall know something about going into the sanctuary, our God, things that are too tedious and too weighty for us. These things I could not endure until I went into the sanctuary of God and considered the latter end of mankind and my end. He will guide me with his counsel and afterward receive me to glory. We are thankful that that is our portion. And so, Lord Jesus, you promised to come again and receive us to yourself. That will dry our tears. That will cause our hearts to rejoice. And so we pray that you will come, Lord Jesus. And our God, that that promise, that assurance, shall go with us through life. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. May that morning soon come. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.